Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problems that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Well, on yesterday's broadcast, I've been ministering on the subject, A New Heart. We were looking at an experience and time in the life of the people of Israel in chapter 17 in Exodus, and the people didn't have water, and they tempted the Lord, which we're learning means to test the Lord, not tempt as in tempting to entice to do evil, which is our modern understanding of it. And so Moses cried unto the Lord. He said, what am I going to do? They're ready to stone me. And the Lord said, go stand before the rock on Horeb and speak to the rock. And actually, no, he says, there thou shalt smite the rock. That was the first time. And water shall come out of it. And verse 7 says, and they called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Well, there's another example recorded in Numbers, the 20th chapter, verses 3 to 5. And they were again without water, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And in verse 3, the word says, and the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when ye brought us up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? Wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt, to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. They could only view their present situation through the eyes of past experience. All they could see was their discomfort, the trial that they were going through. But God told them through Moses he was going to bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey. So how could they die if God promised them that? God wants people of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to believe God. Remember Abraham? He was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. He had raised the knife, and in his own heart, he was going to kill his son as a sacrifice. And he said, if necessary, he knew God would raise Isaac from the dead. Of course, the Lord prevented that from occurring. And so the Lord, as he was, you know, poor Moses, he dealt with those people, and in anger he said to speak to the rock before their eyes. And in this case, Moses did not. He smote the rock twice, and of course that rock represents Christ Jesus. And so as a result of his disobedience, he did not sanctify the Lord in front of their eyes, that he was not allowed to go into the promised land. And so in a little later, further in that chapter, Numbers 20 and 13, the word says, this is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord. And even Moses and Aaron suffered. As I mentioned, they didn't enter the promised land. Moses was commanded to speak and not strike the rock. And now there is a reference I'd like to share with you in Hebrews, the third chapter, verse 9. Well, actually, no, I think I'll start with verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. And it does go on to say, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, That's why I'm on these broadcasts. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. What have we been talking about? We've been talking about a renewed heart, and sin, of which unbelief is that sin that so doth easily beset us, it will harden our heart. And God wants to, he does not want to be questioned. He does not want to be doubted. That, in fact, 1 Corinthians 10:9 says, neither let us tempt Christ or test Christ, as some of them also tempt were to. Excuse me, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. So this is, you know, a very serious situation where we begin to question the Lord. And again, the purpose of Scripture is that we can apply it to our own lives. In Numbers, the 21st chapter, verse 5, there's the same verbiage. Let me start reading at verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor, this is chapter 21 of Numbers, by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. They were, referring to the manna. And verse 6 says, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. So verse 7 says, therefore they finally registered. I guess this is not acceptable before the Lord. Verse 7 says, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And of course, at that point, I won't read the rest, but that's when Moses was to make a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and that everyone who would looked at that looked up, and that was again a reference to the cross of Christ, that everyone who was bitten shall live. And so he made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and that's what brought deliverance for the Israelites who had attempted and tested Christ. So that's a warning, beloved, to us. Why am I sharing all this? I wanted to make such a distinction so we understand that word tempt is really test, and to just put it in modern day verbiage, if you will, to test God is to simply try God's patience. We set ourselves in opposition to God. And God wants us to be malleable. He wants us to be of a tender heart. He wants us to have a heart of thanksgiving, to appreciate what he has done for us. And even if we are in the battle, look at the three Hebrew children. Their lives were hanging in the balance, but they had made up their will, their minds. They would not bow down to worship this golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And he said, be it known to thee, O king, we will not bow down. And as a result, they were thrown into a fiery furnace, so hot that even the guards who threw them in died. But it says there was one like unto the Son of Man, a fourth man in the furnace. And beloved, when we go through the tests and trials, you might be going through one right now, that there is the form of another with you, like unto the Son of Man. Jesus is with us through our trials. His heart is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. So know that if you are in a place of testing and trial right now, God is with you. In fact, let me just pray for, you know, Father, those who are in a trial, and Lord, they don't want to test you. They don't want to be indifferent to you. They don't want to be complaining and murmuring like the children of Israel. But Father, sometimes the trials are so hard to bear. Lord, I ask for your intervention. I ask you to minister to your beloved, those that are going through such a disheartening, discouraging time. And Father, let them trust you. Let them know that you're going to make a way for them. You will bring them out of this trial. All things come to pass, Lord. Lord, let them see your purposes in it. Father, let them learn whatever lessons you would have them learn, and let them praise you and trust you, because, Lord, the victory is ours, because the battle is the Lord's. Let them stand still before you and wait upon you and see that salvation comes from the Lord. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, I've just been inspired. I'm going to stop the message here, and with the Lord's help, we'll continue and hopefully conclude tomorrow. But I would just like to share some testimonies that have come in. This is an email that came in. She says, "Dear Sister Glass, this is just another note of gratitude for your wonderful ministry. UCM ministry comes on very, very late, which is late for some people, 11:30 in Northern California. But sometimes I cannot sleep, and I'm blessed to be able to listen for the spirit-filled 15 minutes that you are on. Sometimes I wish that you were still in Tracy, but I know that you had your reasons for leaving, so I'm just grateful that you are carrying on the love of Jesus." She shares prayer needs and then says, "Hope this finds you well and totally strengthened by him in the work that you are doing. We are growing in his love and knowledge, and it is reaping well for all of us. Thank you for all that you are doing." A precious email. And then there's a letter from a sister in the San Jose area. "Dear Sister Glass, thank you so much for taking the time to hear from the Lord for me. The Lord is so wonderful. In a vision, I won't read that. Thank you also, as the card says, for making days a little brighter and hearts a little happier. Your radio program is one of my favorites, if not my only favorite. I know I can depend on a fresh message from the Holy Spirit and sound teaching. I can hear you on KFAX at 11:30 p.m. every weeknight. I have to admit that sometimes I miss it because I've dropped off to sleep. May the Lord bless you mightily in this year until we meet at Jesus' feet. Your sister in Christ," a dear sister and partner to the ministry. And beloved, that's true. Some of us, we may never see one another in this earthly life, but we will meet at Jesus' feet. Thank you for joining me. I just love this time that we gather together. May you be blessed. I know that I do love you. I pray for you, my radio audience and UCM family. I love you dearly. God bless you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,